Our Old Testament reading is found in Leviticus, starting in 19, chapter 19, verse 9 through 18. But first, let's pray. Oh Lord, we are privileged to have your word to guide us. May we read and study it more. May we learn from it each day. And today, as we read and hear Ron's message, we pray that you would let it penetrate deeply and affect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 19, 9 through 18. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Chapter 24, 17 through 22. If anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution for the life. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has injured the other, so he must too be injured. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a man must be put to death. You are to have the same law for the alien as for the native born. I am the Lord your God. And our New Testament passage is in Matthew 5, 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than the others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Well, I'm very glad to see so many of you here today. After last week's sermon, I was wondering if anyone would come back today. Aren't you glad that today's passage is so much easier than last week? I mean, this week there's only, you know, there's three things and they're all easy to do. Turn the other cheek, right? Love your enemy. and be perfect just like God. Well, and by the way, remember that you promised last week not to tell Jackie that I used her in the sermon, right? Okay. Today's passage continues. Jesus continues preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and it doesn't get any easier. He doesn't soften anything, does he? It is his standard is perfection. And we all sit around and say, that's impossible. But as we look at this passage today, I want you to keep in mind and remember throughout this passage that Jesus came and showed us that perfection is in fact possible. He came and lived all of this out throughout his lifetime. And he showed us that what we think is impossible with God is in fact possible. And we have to remember that. The other thing that I want you to kind of keep in the back of your mind as we go through here, he is basically saying, these are the things that your heavenly Father does, and you need to watch what he's doing and do the same things. Be perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. The things that we think are so hard to do you think it's easy for God to have the sun shine on evil people just as it is on the good? He brings rain even to the unrighteous people, as he does to the righteous ones. So what Jesus is inviting us to do is to look at God, follow his example, look at Jesus, follow his example, and what we think is impossible, he encourages us to do. Now, many years ago, I saw an advertisement on TV. And the advertisement was, it was this story, you could see this man, and he had a little five-year-old boy with him, and they would go out, and whatever the father did, the son would duplicate and copy. You know, they go and they're doing different things, and, you know, at one point they're out there fishing, and the father casts it out, and the little boy tries to cast it out, doesn't do very well. And throughout the whole commercial, it said, like father, like son. Every time that he copied what daddy was doing. And then at the very end of it, they're sitting on the dock fishing, and there's a pack of cigarettes sitting right there next to the father, and he reaches over to grab the cigarettes, and after he sets it back down, then the five-year-old reaches for a cigarette also. Like father, like son. Very impressive commercial. But for us, our Heavenly Father, whatever he does, whatever we see, we're supposed to imitate. Now again, this is probably 30 years ago since I've seen that commercial. It's still with me. But it needs to stay with us. Whatever we see God doing, we need to try and imitate. And by the way, even though that commercial said, like father, like son, it's you ladies don't get off the hook. It's like mother, like daughter, right? I mean, our children learn from us. And God, and in this passage, Jesus says, if we do these things, we will become the children of God. Like father, like son or daughter. We're supposed to imitate him. But he says the standard is perfection. And another thing for us to remember, I learned this when we were in Blaine, and there was an area, as I would drive up to Vancouver to go to school, there was an area in Vancouver where every single lawn, you could tell that the people were meticulous about keeping their lawns right. And I know I've told this to some of you, but you know how as they would mow their lawn, the lines would be straight, and some of them even did it on the diagonal, you know? You know the type? Okay? And so those men who did that, they took such pride in making sure they had absolutely straight lines. But imagine this father who takes absolute perfection, you know, so concerned about making sure his lines are straighter than his neighbor. He's got a little boy with his plastic lawnmower. As the father's going along mowing the lawn, little boy behind pushes his plastic. He can't stay within the lines. He's going this way and that way, right? Do you think that bothers the dad? No. It's because Junior is following with his little plastic lawnmower. Even though he can't stay within the lines, he's so proud of it. Someday he'll get better and better as he does that. And so Jesus is telling us, take your plastic lawnmower out and follow what God is doing, even if you can't stay between the lines. Remember, I hope you remember from last week, there is grace and forgiveness when we mess up, right? There is grace and forgiveness when we mess up. Amen. Praise God, right? But He still wants us to get our plastic lawnmowers out and try and stay in those lines and follow Him and get better and better at following Him. Now, this passage is tough for us, but it was also very, very tough for the Jewish people who were sitting around listening to this sermon. And I want to take you back in time so we can appreciate that a little bit better. And also the Leviticus passages. Thank you, Jim. Those were so easy, right? Okay. But what we have to remember, the passages in Leviticus, as God is giving His laws through Moses to His people, He's trying to teach them how to be His people. He has taken the Israelites up out of Egypt, and what kind of a condition were they living in when they were in Egypt? What were they? Slaves! So what did they learn how to do? They learned to be slaves. And now, with God's help, as they have conquered the Egyptians, as they've come out, as they're about to enter into the Promised Land, and they're going to conquer it, they know slavery. And they're going to be on top because God is with them. And what are they going to do to everybody around them? They're going to enslave them, right? That's what they know. And God says, no, you're not to be like the Egyptians. Leave Egypt back there. You have to live your lives differently as my people, as my chosen ones. And you're not going to live like Pharaoh and the Egyptians and mistreat others. And that's what all of these laws are about. And when we encounter things like eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, we think, that's just evil. That's harsh, isn't it? Well, I want you to back up just a little bit. Think about the situation of the cycle of revenge. We all can imagine that, right? And so somebody comes and hurts someone, and so they have to take revenge, and they have to outdo what was done to them, right? Isn't that what happens? And so somebody's injured. Well, I'm going to go and bring on them and the other person and their family even more of an injury. And then somebody says, well, I'm going to kill them for that. And then, well, I'm going to kill three of them right? And it just keeps building and building. And so the law that God put down for them was the penalty has to match the injury. And by the way, this is given in the context of the judges of Israel as they are judging the people. The eye for the eye is a maximum penalty that may be imposed. Didn't have to be. It was the maximum. But at the same time, God is also emphasizing to them, you also do not, within the community at large, you do not ignore when someone has violated the law, when someone has killed, etc., there must, in fact, be a just punishment for an injury that occurs. Doesn't have to be eye for an eye. Doesn't have to be exact. That's the maximum, but still you don't wink at injustice. You don't ignore what happens. We sometimes think eye for an eye may be cruel, but if you actually stop and think about it, if within a society, and God is teaching them how to be a society and govern themselves, if you do not have laws that impose a punishment, that in fact can be cruel, can't it? And so this eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth that the Israelites had heard was really for their benefit, teach them how to become a nation where they don't become like their Egyptian overlords. That's what it's about. But Jesus says, you know this. This is what you have grown up with. This is God's law for you to turn you into a nation, unlike the Egyptians. But I say to you, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, then turn the other cheek. You, as an individual disciple, are not to engage revenge back. You are to turn the other cheek and not respond in kind. That seems fairly harsh to us, doesn't it? Somebody attacks you and hits you and you're just supposed to sit there and take it? That's exactly what Jesus intended. One time I was teaching this, teaching it when I was in Blaine, and I was doing it in a Bible study in a home, and there was a man there who was attending, Gary, wonderful guy, great sense of humor, and he used to play in the NHL. Now, I said, okay, Gary, when you were playing in the National Hockey League, what would happen, you know, when they take their gloves off and they start getting into a fight? What would happen if after somebody hits you, if you turned the other cheek? And he said, they'd hit you again. They would hit you again. I said, and then what would happen if you turned your cheek the other and waited for the again? He said, he stopped. He'd say, they'd skate away. I said, why would they hit you the second time and not the third time? And he said, they wouldn't keep beating on you if they knew you were just going to take it. I said, then why did they hit you the second time? Because they wouldn't believe it the first time you offered it. Well, Gary got it. And that's what Jesus is saying. If somebody strikes you, let them hit you again. Most people will turn and walk away. They will not continue doing it. And Jesus knows that. He goes on and he says, if somebody is suing you. Now, most of the people who are sitting around listening to him probably were not very well off. Because if they're suing you for your shirt, basically, you don't have very much, right? So probably this is a situation that some of them had experienced where they were indebted to somebody powerful who had money, and the person was suing since they hadn't paid back, suing to get the shirt, which is about all they had. Most people back then who didn't have means, they would only have basically their tunic or their shirt and a cloak or a coat over it. And he's basically saying it's better to go essentially naked. Maybe you'd have a loincloth, but basically go without anything than to fight somebody who is seeking that after you. Give up to the rich and powerful who are trying to oppress you. How do you think that sat with those people who were sitting around? Not very good. And then he talks about the hated Romans. Talks about the hated Romans, and how do we know this? Because there's only Roman soldiers who could compel you to help them carry their equipment. But there were limitations. Even though the Romans were oppressors, and they were probably very ruthless, they had limits that they imposed. You can only force the locals to help you go for 1 mile. And Jesus says, you help even the hated Romans, and you volunteer the second mile. Boy, talk about wanting to win friends, right? How do you think that sat with the Jewish people who hated the Roman overlords? Jesus said, you even go the extra mile for them. And then he doesn't stop. You even have to love those Romans. Now, you know how I love to look at the context of passages. And so the context in Leviticus of love your neighbor as yourself is talking about specifically their immediate neighbors. If you look at the context of it, it's talking about loving your Israelite neighbors. Not talking about loving your enemies. Just those around you. Jesus is calling their attention to that. You know that. It only applies to your own brethren, really. Okay? Your kinsmen. And Jesus says, but this applies, you have to love your enemies too, including for them the Romans. How does this apply to us? How can we do these things? I suspect, looking around at most of you, that how many of you have been in a fight in the last year where somebody struck you? Didn't think so. That doesn't really apply to us very much, does it? How many of you have been sued lately? Didn't think so either. But how many of us have difficulties sometimes with thinking well about people we may not like? How many of us have problems with loving our enemies? Yeah, we all do, don't we? Jesus is saying we do not strike back. We give up of our, and we continue giving of ourselves, and we are to love our enemies, and oh my gosh, we're even supposed to pray for them. It's hard to do, isn't it? But notice how he has this promise and goes on and says, if you pray for those who persecute you, then you may be children of your Father in heaven. You become part of the family. When we act in this way, which is so contrary to our human nature, when we act in this way, we join Jesus in his family. We get to become children of our Heavenly Father. And because this is what he does. You see, God doesn't show any favoritism. This is part of what Jesus is describing here. God loves even the evil people. He doesn't like their behavior, but he loves them. And he causes the sun and the rain to fall and bless them as well. And Jesus is telling this to his fellow Jewish people who know that they have been the chosen people of God, right? They're the chosen ones, right? That's what they've been taught. That's what the Old Testament teaches. They're the chosen ones. But we have to go back all the way to Genesis. Why were they chosen? God blessed Abraham so that he and his family could be a blessing to the entire world. God doesn't have favorites. And this is what Jesus is teaching. We who believe in Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into the family. But God wants us to go out and share that great news with others who don't know and invite them into the family. That includes your enemies. That includes people you may not like. Look around right here look around in your pews. Do you love everybody sitting next to you? Well, I know some of you do, especially when we have the young people home for spring break, right? That's easy. But we are called to have that same kind. And it's not just this, oh, well, I love you abstractly. Jesus is talking about truly acting out on this love. Why? Because he wants us to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is. And then he goes through and he demonstrates to us throughout his life that he, in fact, fulfills this. And so we can too. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount starts actually before chapter 5. When Jesus starts preaching, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? We learned that. Same message that John the Baptist was preaching. Turn your life around, because God's kingdom is here. And this is how we turn our lives around. We turn our lives around by not reacting when we are injured. We turn our lives around and we usher it, help live in the kingdom of God when we love people who hurt us, when we pray for those who are our enemies. Is that easy to do? No. Thank God again. Remember, there is grace and forgiveness when our little lawnmower goes outside the lines, right? But we still need to take up that lawnmower and try and follow along and try and do better each and every time. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. To live in his family. To be like him. My prayer today is that we can all get closer and closer to his example as we follow him. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us that we can, in fact, follow after you. We know that as we look at these requirements, they seem impossible to us. But we know that with the help and guidance of your Holy Spirit, all things are possible. May it be so in our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen.